Bhute Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 17. Tai Tani Agani Pujante Tapa Dana Rata Adibi Na Adharma Jam Tat Ridayam Tat Api Isha Angri Sevaya. Taistanya Gani Pujante Tapodana Vratadibi Nadharma Jam Tadridayam Tad Api Sangri Sevaya. Taistanya Gani Pujante Tapodana Vratadibi Na Dharma Jam Tadridayam Tad Api Sangri Sevaya. Tanya Grani Pujante Tapodanam Ritadivi Tadharma Jam Tadridayam Tad Api Sangri Sevaya. Sevaya Nipujante Udanam Vritadibi Karma Dadi Dadayam Tarabi Sangri Sevaya. Ladies, Buyante Dana Ritadibi Dharma Jam Tadridayam Tadapi Sangri Sevaya. Test Puyante Ritadibi Madam Tadridayam Tadapi Sangri Sevaya. Tai by those, Tani all those, Agani sinful activities and their results, Pujante become vanquished, Tapa austerity, Danam charity, Rata Adibi, by vows and other such activities. Na, not, Adharmajam, produced from irreligious actions. Tat, of that. Ridayam, the heart. Tat, that. Api, also. Isha Angri, of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sevaya, by service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Please repeat. One may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods. These pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Bhakti Paresh Anu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful because material desires means sense gratification, which always involves action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma and jnana. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although austerities, penances, and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because the heart is impure. Thus he will act sinfully and suffer. Text again. Tais tanya gani pujante tapo danam ritadibi na dharma jam tad riddayam tad api sangri sevaya. Although one may neutralize reactions of sinful life for austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Mong Vishnu Viraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarne. In this verse it states that devotional service is so powerful that it can uproot all material desires. Then the question is that after performing devotional service for some years, why is it that all our material desires have not been uprooted? Is it that we're not performing devotional service? Or what is the answer? And then, on the other side here, it says that even activities like charity, penance, austerity, vows, they can only neutralize sinful activities, but they can't uproot the desires. So does that mean that we should stop performing austerity, charity, and penance? Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, jagnas tapastata dhanam na karyam karya eva tat dhanam tapastapas chaiva pavanani manishinam. That charity, sacrifice, and austerities, they must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance, they purify even the liberated soul. Pavanani, manishim. They purify even the manishi, the thoughtful person. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, mas chita mas kata prana, bodhyantas parashparam, katayantas tramam nityam, tushanti charamanti cha. that the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. In other words, there are different levels of devotees. There are devotees who, by hearing the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and other such literature, they become satisfied. That satisfaction is more or less, they make progress out of the modes of material nature. And those who are Ramanti, who are feeling great ecstasy, they have already been liberated from the material modes of nature, and they're ecstatically engaged in devotional service. Of course, we also learn that devotional service, the very activity of devotional service, is so exalted that even a neophyte, if he sincerely performs activities such as chanting the holy name or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, living in a holy place or serving the devotees or worshiping the deities, that he can feel transcendental ecstasy. But that doesn't mean that if one feels transcendental ecstasy, then one is completely liberated from the material modes of material nature, unless that ecstasy is 24 hours a day. In other words, not only are we performing devotional service, because that in itself is a purifying activity, but at the same time, we're also conscious of how to perform devotional service in such a way as we get out of the material modes of material nature. Although, as soon as one joins the Hare Krishna movement and sincerely engages in sadhana, one may be considered a pure devotee, but there are different kinds of pure devotees. There's first-class pure devotee, second-class pure devotee, and third-class pure devotee. So third-class pure devotee, they have material desires. Those desires are summarized very simply. We want to control the material nature. We're not happy if things don't go the way we want them to go. And we want them to go a certain way. Therefore, we hanker for certain circumstances, and we lament if we don't get them. We may execute devotional service even in that mood. And we may not even be aware of it, because that's the nature of the material energy. The material nature doesn't say, you're fool number one, just follow me. No, material nature says, oh, just try it out. This time it will be different. This time it will actually enjoy. Just try to lord it over a little, enjoy a little of material nature, and this time you'll actually become satisfied. And since time immemorial, we've been more or less sometimes out of the modes of nature, sometimes in the modes of material nature, in between the material nature, etc. So, therefore, one has to learn how to become observant. Where is my consciousness going? Is it going into the mode? Which mode? Is it going into transcendence? Am I going to stay in transcendence? Where is it drifting to now? In other words, we have to become conscious of what we're actually doing and what the results of our activities will be. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a guide how to act without fruit of activity and then how to act in knowledge. If we're constantly engaged in hankering and lamenting the results of our work, then there's no question of really deepening our knowledge. For instance, in the 17th chapter, Krishna says about austerity and the mode of goodness. He begins with the body. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pragya, Pujanam, Sochamarjavam, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsam, Cha, Sharira, Tapa, Uchite. These are important austerities in the mode of goodness with the body, because the body is most easily observed. We can see, just like Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pragya, Pujanam, Socham. Someone says, my dear Prabhu, you haven't washed your hands before you ate. And he goes, yes, I are. Look at my hand, it looks clean. Well, I saw you. You didn't wash your hands. As a matter of fact, you put your hand in your mouth. I saw you. I have a picture of it here. Here's the picture. It wasn't my hand. It was someone else's hand. In other words, how can we deny? It's the most obvious thing is what we're doing externally with this body. and cleanliness. So it is important that we somehow or another we observe whether we're actually being clean or not. One time the GBC members, they decided that they were going to centralize ISKCON and that whatever the temples got in terms of collection would go to a central fund, and then the big guys would determine how many chapatis everyone got. Prabhupada, when he heard about that, he became very upset, and he more or less dismissed the GBC and asked the temple presidents to work on their own under his guidance, directly under Prabhupada. Then, writing a letter of explanation to one of the members of the GBC who was repentant for acting so independently, Prabhupada wrote that you have all these big, big plans of centralizing all the money, centralizing ISKCON, everyone has to come and beg from you. Oh, great Prabhu, please give me a chapati. But the important things I don't see on your list of your agenda items. I can see that the devotees, before they take prasadam, they don't wash their hands. He said, this is important. Why don't you discuss these things of some importance? So we may have some idea of what's important, what's not important, but Prabhupada had a different idea of what's important. What will actually purify us, to bring us to the platform of the mode of goodness, where we can actually chant the Hare Krishna mantra in ecstasy without disturbance from the modes of material nature. Therefore, deva, dvija, guru, pragya. We have to learn, first of all, worship. Therefore, we have our morning program and sometimes even evening programs where we learn worship, where we engage our body not in working hard for our sense gratification, but we're engaging our body in the worship of the Supreme Lord, the learned persons, deva, dvija, the Brahmins, guru, the spiritual master, pragya, learned persons. We engage our body in worshiping, hearing, for instance, what they have to say. That's also worshiping in a submissive mood. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya, pujanam, socham, arjavam. How to become honest. Not that it doesn't really matter what I say, what I think, whatever. I'm a great soul anyhow. Simple. Black is black and white is white. And then not sometimes black is white and sometimes white is black or green or yellow, whatever else. To actually be simple and see things clearly. Artist, brahmacharyam, celibacy. Not that I'm actually here to enjoy the body, but sometimes I take different moods. I'm a humble sage. You know, come in and try to attract me. Probably gives the example that in India sometimes the sadhus or the people who are looking for ladies, they dress up as sadhus, and then the ladies, there are a group of ladies who are looking for sadhus to enjoy with, and so they go there looking for the sadhus to enjoy with, and people who know that, they dress up as sadhus, looking for the ladies who come there looking for sadhus. So this is not a very good combination for spiritual advancement. So simplicity, celibacy, we have to examine whether or not how I'm actually performing these activities. And then, if we're actually a little observant on that platform, then anuvega karam vakyam satya priyahitam chayat. Swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vangmana tapa uchite. Then we're actually becoming a little conscious of how we're speaking. Krishna begins with anuvegam. Is my speaking actually agitating people's minds, or is it actually bringing them to Krishna consciousness? Is it inspiring them to enjoy or suffer in the material world? Or is it actually steadying their mind and giving them some insight how to utilize their body, mind, and words in Krishna's service? And it should be, at the same time, priya, hita, anuvega, karam, vakyam, satya. It should be based upon reality, not upon my own mental concoction of things. and it should be pleasing. Not that I have the truth and the truth is like a hammer, I hit you on the head. No, it should be pleasing. And hita, it should be beneficial. It should be aimed at actually helping the person make some spiritual advancement. Hitam jaya swadhyaya, and it should be based upon the scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, not upon my own ideas. Not that I've repeated this so many times, we're not this body, I'm tired of it, now I'm going to say something more interesting than that. Actually, if we could realize we're not this body, everything would be interesting. But because we don't, therefore we have to find so-called interesting things in the material world. Things to make things interesting. The only things that are really interesting, ultimately, are the reality of the self, that's the most interesting, along with the reality of the Supreme Self, which is even more interesting. And if we're trying to find things outside that to make things interesting, well, we're probably going to fail, because compared to Krishna, and compared to the realizing ourself as the spiritual being, everything ultimately is just a shadow. It has no real substance. It may appear to be interesting for some time, but then after we chew it, it's just punak punas charvata charvananam, just the same thing we've chewed since time immemorial, and spit out time and time again. Then, if we're a little fixed up in how we're doing, how we're working, how we're speaking, then manak prasada sonya tvam monam atma vinigraha bhava sam sudhir etye tad tapo manasamuchite. Then we can look at our mind. Where is my mind at? Manak prasad, is it actually satisfied? Or am I thinking, oh, I don't like these circumstances, let me change them. I can be here for some time, and this way, by somehow or another manipulating my present circumstances, then I can get into the actual circumstances that I really want in this world. Am I actually satisfied with wherever I am? Or am I always hankering for another circumstance or complaining about the circumstance I'm under? Manak prasadam somya tvam. Is my mind steady, or is it flickering all over the universe looking for something? Manak prasadam somya stiryam atma vinigraha. Is it actually fixed in the activities of devotional service? Stiryam atma vinigraha. Bhava samshidira. Is it actually thinking about Krishna and things in relation to Krishna? Or does it have some other plan, some other vision in their mind? If we're not thinking about Krishna, then we must be thinking about something else. If we're not thinking about devotional service, then we're thinking about some degree sense gratification. Monam atma vinigraha. Manak prasada somya tvam stiryam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhi ite tad. Tapo manasam uchite. Manak prasada samya tvam monam atma vinigraha. Bhava samshudir. So monam, gravity. Am I actually serious? Am I actually trying to see things in relation to Krishna? What he wants me to do? What he wants me to say? Am I actually serious about remaining fixed in Krishna consciousness? Am I grave? Or I already went through the morning program, I went through so many austerity, let me relax a little bit, this is too much. I'm going to burn out if I get too serious. No, gravity, purity, control of the mind, control of the senses. Then if we come to this platform of our body engaged in Krishna service, our words are engaged in Krishna service, then we'll have the intelligence how to notice where our mind is and fix it in Krishna consciousness. The more we're in that platform, then devotional service becomes ramante. If we make progress, then it becomes satisfying, to shanti. If we're actually trying to progress daily, that the success, well, the fact that we're chanting our rounds nicely means that we get the spiritual strength to make sure that our activities, our thoughts, our words, they're actually meeting the qualification of the mode of goodness, at least. transcendental goodness. I'm actually engaging my body, my mind, and my words in service to Krishna. If we're doing that, then we can chant Hare Krishna without offense. And if we chant Hare Krishna without offense, then we should be able to see how I become an instrument for Krishna. How that my body, mind, and words are instruments. Then bhakti parishanu vyaktiya anyatra chika eka kala. Then the results of devotional service, satisfaction, and just like Prabhupada gives the example, if, or in the scriptures it says, just like if you eat a meal, then with every bite you get alleviation from hunger, satisfaction, growing strength. By performing bhakti properly, the activities of bhakti yoga, devotional service, then one is able to see how everyone, everything is related to Krishna. Then the result is that one gets detachment from the things that draw one's mind away from Krishna. At the same time, one has a growing sense of feeling love for Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. So if I'm looking out in the world, I'm not seeing Krishna or how things are related to Krishna, then I'm in Maya. And it's not that we're supposed to do it 5-10 minutes a day and then everything's all right. I've been empowered to enjoy for the rest of the day. Whereas Prabhupada once did, he was chanting his rounds. He got up to the 16th round, pulled a bead down, and then threw his beads on the desk and said, I've chanted my 16 rounds and I can do any damn thing I want. No, now seeing things in Krishna consciousness, we become empowered to be able to perform activities with more love and devotion for Krishna, to please him. And the result of that, detachment from the things that draw one's mind away from Krishna, because Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasidehinam Rasavardamrasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. The soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but as long as the taste for sense objects may remain. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in knowledge. So ultimately, we may, unless we follow that process, seeing things how they're related to Krishna, and then enthusiastically engaging in Krishna's service as he wants us to do with our body, mind, and words, and determination and everything else, then the result is that one becomes absorbed in thinking about Krishna, and due to the happiness of thinking about Krishna, being in that mood of devotional service, then the result is that one becomes detached from things that will not help one progress in devotional service. Otherwise, one may very carefully execute one's activities. They may even be pious. They may even be glorifiable in some ways. But if they don't lead us ultimately to that mood of devotional service, it won't be sufficient to protect us from the illusory energy. On the other hand, if we only engage in devotional service in our sadhana, we chant our rounds, however we may chant our rounds, even if we come to the program, but if we don't see what is my activities, what are my anarthas, if I don't try to develop a transcendental vision at the same time, so that 24 hours a day I'm engaged in Krishna service, then the result is that we may go up during the program, then we may go down after the program. We may go everywhere, here and there. But we won't become steadily fixed in devotional service. And it's just like you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. But if you keep on taking it out and putting it into ice-cold water, and then you're wondering why I'm not in the fire, well, the result is, we have to maintain the iron in the fire all the time. And for that, there is the science of devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Banubhadrapuru.
In any class, since that's the...
There are many varieties of first class, second class, and third class. Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama, in terms of how Prabhupada defines them. Because there's always, Prabhupada said, in every sphere, there's first, second, third class. But generally, Kanista Adhikari, materialistic devotee, his real interest is something other than to please Krishna. Either he wants to get out of his distress, or avoid it, or he wants a more comfortable material circumstance, or he wants to find out how this material world is working so he can help himself and others, or he wants to get out of the material world. But somehow or another, the central focus is not Krishna. Krishna is just a help for his material objectives.
But he's still considered in one sense a pure devotee.
Yeah, because he's approaching the right person. And then the second class, pure devotee, he knows that the goal is become Krishna conscious, and he's fully engaged in devotional service, but he's learning to discriminate between Krishna, and he's learning how to give his love to Krishna and cooperate with the devotees to spread Krishna consciousness, how to help innocent people and avoid envious people. So this takes some practice. And when he becomes very expert at that, then he becomes a first class devotee.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.